Is Islam, how is it influencing our future in America? Was recorded October the 20th, 1996 at the Boston Teachers Union Hall in Boston, Massachusetts. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. And now Imam Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah. We say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the guardian, revolver, sustainer, and keeper of the universe. We witness that he is one, and that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed 14 centuries ago and about 15 years or more, is the last, the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets. And we salute him with the traditional salute, praying God's peace be upon him and the prayers be upon him and what follows of that traditional salutation. We are finally here after having a lot of interruptions, a lot of trouble. First, my flight had to go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It couldn't come into the area out here. I had to land in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We couldn't land. We were headed for Newark, and we were going to drive up here, the flight had to land in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So we had to drive up in heavy rain and a lot of bad weather. And then I had difficulty finding the airport in New Jersey. New Jersey. So I finally made it after maybe about 3 hours delay, a setback. I finally made it to the airport. The man had waited for me after, he could have got paid for a full day's work, like 8 hours. He waited there for me. So I finally made it there. And then we drove up here and ran into bad weather again. This morning. This morning we left the hotel and drove up here. But as I said, the weather was bad, as you know. I'm sure you've experienced a lot of it too. Flooding and bad weather. But we thank Allah we're here, because Allah is always in charge of everything. We do our best, and that's all we can do. The flight had to be diverted to Harrisburg. So I said, well, everything is in Allah's hands, you know. So, I was wondering if I could be compensated for the expenses that I would have to put out to drive from Harrisburg to Newark. So someone told me at the airport, said no. So when you finish the weather and there's nothing else involved, it's only weather, so they don't give you anything because it's out of their hands. There's nothing they can do about it. So I said, well, everything is left up to God. All the things are God's hand. And most Muslims, I'm sure, you who are here today, you know, whether you got into trouble or good situation, you always thank God. Because maybe the trouble saved you from something worse. You never know. Something worse could have been in the way for you. And maybe the trouble detained you or diverted you so you wouldn't get that other trouble that was leading. That would have been much worse. So we never know. We trust God for everything. And we say, Subhanallah. And on Allah, we put our trust. Highly glorified is Allah, and we put our trust in Him. Our Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. Maybe I should mention the topic that we are addressing today. What is Islam, and how is Islam influencing our future in America? How is it influencing our future in America? But first, I would like to begin with the saying of Muhammad the prophet of Islam, our prophet. He said, peace be upon him, you will not enter the garden until your the word is ahwa, ahwa, ahwa'akum. Until your ahwa'akum, it was translated intonations, but these words are difficult to translate. Intonation, we use that word, it's translated like that by one of the translators. Until your intonations obey or follow what the Prophet came to us with. The saying reads like this: you will never enter the garden until your intonations follow what I, the Prophet speaking himself, what I brought you or what I came to you with. And God, Most High, promises us paradise. Promises us paradise. And all of this has a lot to do with our future. Paradise is the future for the believers who are not cursed or condemned to go to hell. Paradise is where they are headed. And God promises us paradise. And the prophet had just, I just quoted a few words of the prophet, he said, you will not enter that paradise until your inclinations obey and follow what I came to you with. Now, get to be what I brought you or what I came with. So I would like for you to join me in seeing our future, first of all, as a promised paradise. That's what our future is, first of all. The Muslims should think of the future firstly as the Jannah, the paradise that God promises us. That's our future. That's the future we work for. That's the future we should be working for. Now, some understanding of the paradise will help us understand what we should be working for all the time, as long as we live. You're supposed to work for God's gift that He promises you based upon your attitude and your behavior, your obedience to Him. You should work for that gift all the time. Paradise should be something you're working for all the time. In the Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah, God that is, God presents two paradises. He said two paradises. Jannatain, which means two paradises. Jannah, one paradise. Jannatain, two paradises. Let me, before going further, thank you for inviting me here again, and thank you for supporting the effort of your leaders, our imam here and others, to make this event here, this occasion here, possible for us and comparable for us today. We thank Allah for you and your efforts. And we thank our office back home too, that worked with you, communicated with you. And we certainly thank Brother Rano Shaheed. He's here. Yeah, Brother Rano Shaheed, who have responded to my first hint of an interest to come to Boston. That's some time ago, a few years ago. And he has kept my concern and worked to make my business here possible. We thank you very much for being back. We thank also the officials, the public officials, public servants, that you have recognized today and who are embracing the good work that you're doing here in this area. Al-Islam, or Islam as it's commonly called. In the Quran, it is always referred to as Al-Islam. But for some reason it was shortened by the translators, by, I guess, out of habit maybe, the people speaking English. They didn't say Al-Islam, they know that Ba-Islam wouldn't sound right. Al means God, you know. And in English to say Ba-Islam, it doesn't sound right in English, you know. So I guess that's the reason why they shorten it to just say Islam. But understand that that's not the full expression. It's Al-Islam. And in Arabic, it's used as we use the article the in English grammar. It's definite, just makes it definite, distinguishes from other Islam. And this, in the Quran, God also mentions our individual Islam. There is no L on it. It's Islam, just Islam. That's your individual Islam. Because you will never find the whole Islam in any single person unless it was Muhammad the Prophet or some of the perfect obedient servants of God. You will never find the whole Islam with us, but our Islam. We submit to God. We surrender our life to God for His purposes, for His purpose. And that's our individual Islam. But the religion of Islam is what we find described, written, and explained to us in the Quran, in the book of the Muslims, the holy book of the Muslims, the Quran. And that is the book that shows us Islam, holds for us what is Islam in its pure state. Islam in its pure state. And the Prophet's teaching and life pattern is our model for the life of Muslims. We want to know how to carry out that life that God has given us in a prescription in the Quran, then we should also know how our Prophet Muhammad, the last Prophet, lived this religion, Al-Islam, or Islam as it's commonly called. Our Creator's invitation to us in the Quran, in Islam, I will use Islam because it's a common expression, but I will always let you know that it's Al-Islam in the Quran. That's the complete word, complete expression. And His invitation, the Creator's invitation to us, to humanity, is for us to accept life that God wants for us. So our future, we should be working for the future life that God wants for us as Muslims or as His human creation. We should be working for that future life, to have that future life. And when we hear the prayer, and I think the prayer gives more visibility to Muslim life for outside and inside and us too than any other activity we have. Even in the Hajj, at the Hajj, what we see is pilgrims, thousands, circling, going around the Kaaba, the house built by Abraham in the Quran, and his son Ismail, or Ishmael in the Bible, as the first house built for the worship of God. To the worship built, to the worship of God, or dedicated worship of God for all people. For all people. This is Quran, it's not me. I hope you know Quran well enough to know what I'm talking when I'm saying what's in the Quran. The house built, dedicated to the worship of God, and built for all people. Bunyan and Nas, built for all people. And now, when we pray there, we see those great numbers in prayer, at that very little simple one room house. Prayer distinguishes us from other communities. If any non-Muslim writer in a publication writes about us and they want to really let the even know right away this is about Muslims, now they're getting in the habit of capturing us, photographing us at prayer, standing at prayer. In group or single person alone praying, but most of the time in a group praying. And all the dress distinguishes Muslims. I hope a day will come in America when the dress won't distinguish Muslims. Because the dress that we really should be distinguished by is not the Sudanese dress, or the Pakistani dress, or the Egyptian dress, or the Saudi dress. It's the dress of decency, moderation, and decency. That's the real dress. And I'm dressed modestly and decent today. Very modest and decent today. I don't have my navel showing, I don't have my armpits showing, my knees not showing. I'm just very modest and decent today. yes, so Islam is a call to life in the prayer. The call to prayer tells us come to prayer, right? But the expression is hayya. And this word is taken from the word in the Arabic that means life or living. Hayyun. If you're living, I say hayyun, you're hayyun, you're living. Hayyun. Hayya means come, but it means come living, alive. Don't come as a dead person. Come as a living person in response to God. Or come consciously. Come alive within yourself. Come consciously, alive, totally alive, responding to the call to worship God. So this is a religion that invites us to a definite life, a definite life form, a definite way of life, a definite life form, a definite lifestyle. That's what it is. It's an invitation. Our Lord's invitation. Our Creator's invitation to us. So what we want in the future for ourselves is this life. Is this life. And God says that He promised, He offers us a life. And He wants us to have a good life. Good life. This is what Allah says. He wants us to have a good life. And God says, and He wants us to have, He promises us, pardon me, good establishments. Good establishments. People with bad establishments, they'll have a bad life. If your neighborhood is a neighborhood of bad establishments, you as an individual, you suffer the burden or the blight that is on that neighborhood. You suffer that as an individual because you live in that neighborhood. So God wants us to have a good establishment. God wants us to have good environments. Good environments. Isn't the paradise a picture of the environment that we would have if we achieved the great victory of pleasing God in our lifetime? Isn't paradise a picture of that environment? He promises us a picture of an environment that is wonderful, without suffering. And that environment is called paradise, or the garden of paradise. That's what we want in our future. And Islam is influencing, shaping that future for us. Many of us, we are not actually consciously working for that future. But whether you consciously work for it or not, you're getting closer and closer to that future. That's if you're with us. If you're with us, you're getting closer and closer to that future. Because that's what we're working for. Good Muslims and good Muslim leaders, they have to support the best. We are working for that good future that Allah promises us. And the learning in this religion some mystics to make mystical language of it. But some don't. They put it in very common language to us. They tell us that really paradise starts in this life. And hell too starts in this life. You get a bit of hell and a bit of heaven in this life. So it's not something that is promised to us and we don't get acquainted with it at all. In this life, it's something that is promised to us and we get acquainted with it in this life. Not only do we get acquainted with it in this life in part, but we also get to experience it in this life in part. Not the whole of it, but in part. And scriptures like the Bible, and even the prophet saying too, saying peace on Muhammad, the prophet, tells us that if you don't have any heaven in this life, you won't have any heaven in the end. At the end of the road, when God fulfilled the promise on us. If you don't have any here, you won't have any at all there. So actually, your life has to show that God is giving you the judgment while you're living on this earth. What are signs that a person is being given the judgment? Signs are that they keep their composure for God's sake. You can't shock them out of their form. You can't anger them out of their form. You can't seduce them out of their form. They keep their composure in this world for God's sake. That's a sign that they already are in the garden in a certain measure. In a certain measure, they're already in the paradise. They're already in the garden. You know, we read of the prophets, in the scripture of the prophet Abraham. This is in the Quran also, Bible and Quran. And the Bible has given us three Hebrews, I think they get it. The Quran gives it Abraham. The enemies put Abraham in the fire. And they opened the door to see was he baking, half done, or burnt. And they saw him unharmed, unaffected at all. The flames did not harm him. And Allah says in the Quran, he made the flames cool for Abraham. He made the flames cool for Ibrahim, for the prophet Ibrahim, apparently peace. This is wonderful. Well, this tells us that though Abraham was in the fires of the world, that are like a hell, that's that major hell we have here on this earth, or can have here on this earth. But it didn't affect him. So going back to that neighborhood that I was talking about, the blighted neighborhood, the depressing neighborhood, the bad establishment, you will find a believer keeping their composure in such neighborhood and are affected by the hell of that neighborhood. They live in peace. They live with peace. Praise be to Allah. But we are not satisfied just to have the good state internally. Our obligation as servants of God is to work to see the good state externally, outside. So whenever you come out of your home and you don't see any presence of the Muslim state, or the Muslim, I don't mean a political state, of the Muslim establishments, the Muslim state of community, if you don't see any presence of that, you should be bothered by that situation. You should be hungry to see that change. Hungry to see the area that you live in change. And I will not make residence in Africa. Not even in Timbuktu. No. My residence is in the United States, and that's where it's going to stay. I'll die here. I'll die a citizen of some city of the United States, you see? Inshallah, that's my wish too. Yeah, yes. So I'm not going somewhere else. My children are going to be here. Their children are going to be here. Children to come for hundreds of years, I hope they'll be here. Don't we care about them? Don't we want to build a better future for them? And pass that on to them? Pass that responsibility on to them? And say, now you increase what we have done, children. This is what intelligent people do. And Allah doesn't ask any less than that of us. We must work for good establishment. We must work for the future. Why do you think it is so important, the future, for us? To get us orientated, to get us in the habit of, the spirit of, and in the habit of working not for just today, living not for just today, but working for the long distance goal. Living for the long distance goal. That's what Allah wants in us. That's why He tells us the al-akhirah, the latter, the end goal, the dar, the home promise you in the end, the dar al-akhirah, the dar al-akhirah, or the dar al-akhirah, the promise you in the end, is the dar al-salam. It is the board of peace. When you don't have these agonies in your life, created by ignorance, vulgarity, blight on the neighborhood, and etc., crime, then you can have that peace. So let us not see the dar al-akhirah, or the dar al-salam, the house in the end of the road, or in the end of the journey that God promises us, or the house of peace. Let us not see that only as something we'll have when this physical body is gone and God resurrects us into a new life. But let's see that as something we should be working for on this earth. Right. To have conditions like a Jannah, right, in our environment. This is what makes people great. This is what makes nations great. This is what makes civilizations great. It's because they don't just want conditions to be perfect, a paradise or a perfect environment for human life and existence. They will do their best while they live to bring that about for themselves and their children and their children's future to come. Children, on and on forever. This is how we should think. And Islam is influencing the shaping of our future. Here in America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he never saw the pure light of Islam. He started to try to see it at the end of the road, about the last 3 or 4 years of his life. He started to try to see it in 1958. He even made Umrah, the minor pilgrimage to Mecca, to the Kaaba there, in 1958. He tried to see it, but never did he see it. But now we can see it. And already, many of us do see it. He didn't see it, but Allah rewarded his desire to see it. Allah rewarded his good intention to see it. Allah rewarded his good efforts to help bring it about. Yes. And the biggest reward he got was his son, Wallace D. Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. Allah blessed him with a son that was turned on to the distant light, to want to see the distant light. And because of that, now we have a community of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You came from him. Most of you, like I did. We have now a community built of the material blocks that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought together. He used those blocks for construction, didn't he? Yeah, he used those blocks to construct the nation of Islam. And the walls came tumbling down. But as all Moses goes, somebody said, this temple shall be built back up in 3 days. And look back to me, in about 3 days it was up again. And now it is the mosque of Islam, what it wanted to be, what it was established to be, the mosque of Islam. So as we're talking about Islam influencing our future in America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was given the Quran, but was not told to teach it to us. So he didn't. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught the Bible to us and related its stories to our own experiences, to our own life. Told us to see our own story in the Bible stories, thinking of the suffering people of the Bible. He used the Bible. Nevertheless, the Quran was given to him as a holy book. The Bible was given to him as a poison book. This is not my language, this is the language of his teacher that he gave Farah. Mr. Farah gave that language to my father, Elijah Muhammad. Elijah King at that time, he changed to be Elijah Muhammad. Gave him that description of the Bible, told him that was a poison book. Now here the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching us more Bible every Sunday, whenever he spoke, preached, than he did Quran. Go get the papers of the Pittsburgh theory that he used to write in. Get the Muslim journal, Muhammad Speaks, pardon me. Yes. Get the Muhammad Speaks, yes. Thank you. Get the Muhammad Speaks, and you'll see Bible, very little Quran. But he said the Quran is the perfect book, the few books. He said the Bible is a poison book. Poison book. Now he was giving us or preaching to us from the poison book, according to their language, they're not my language. Please don't put off the any of this on me. I tried to get all of it off of me, and I think I've succeeded. So don't put any of it on me. Yes, he was teaching now to us from the poison book, but he made you know that he cared about the Quran. You never saw him come to speak without the Quran in his hand or from right here. That's where he put it most of the time. It'll be just like this. He'd walk in and it was just like that. With the Quran, just like this. So he taught us that the Quran was dear to him. He taught us that. So just that alone was a help for Islam to start taking root and growing in this country. Just that alone. Now he wasn't the only one that pointed people to Islam. African Americans, blacks, quote, as you call, to Islam. Some Ahmadiyyas were doing it. I mean in the early 30s, maybe late 29, late 20s. More Science Temple, the Moorish Americans were doing. So he was not the only one, there were others too. And I would say the same thing with them. They too should be given some credit for making some contribution to the possibility of Islam taking root and growing here in America. They all should be given some credit because they all were ignorant of the true Islam, except the Ahmadiyyas. And they're really the children of the Ahmadiyyas, descendants of the Ahmadiyyas that came before. I believe they're innocent too. They're innocent of errors that their people made, that Ghulam Ahmed made, who's supposed to be the Messiah, or the Mahdi Messiah of the Ahmadi Anjama, the Ahmadi people group. Yes. So they made errors. Their errors are nothing like the errors that most Americans made now. Certainly not anywhere I could be compared with the errors that the nation of Islam made. under Professor Mr. Farah, and my father is Donald Elijah Muhammad, who was his innocent student. Understand that. Donald Elijah Muhammad was not guilty, he was an innocent student. And really, Farah was not guilty in his own mind. He saw himself with a scheme, a plot, a strategy to get Islam fixed in America at any cost. He just wanted Islam to be in America at any cost. And he prayed and believed that one day we would discover that really he ridiculed his own false teachings. It takes a scholar to see these things. It takes a high school student with a bright and curious mind, or a college student with a bright and curious mind, to see that Farad was actually ridiculing. He was making ridiculous those things that he was teaching us that was not Islam. While at the same time making those things magnetic, fascinating to us, to hold us for the Quran, to hold us for the Quran, so that one day when the Quran starts to be read and studied and preached, the Quran will break the spell of all of the ridiculous theater. I hope you're following me. Praise be to Allah. So Islam is shaping us for the future in America. And you know, if a new life is growing in an environment, it makes a contribution to the environment. If it is altogether alien or foreign in that environment, it will either be killed by that environment or it will kill that environment, and it will take over that environment. And Islam, the Quran, is not alien, completely foreign to this environment we live in that is Christian, and that is democratic, etc. It is not completely foreign to it. There are a lot of very significant similarities for the Islamic life and the true life of the Christian and the true idea of this democracy. A lot of real significant, meaning important similarities. Now, this most of us now should know. When I started out, you didn't, maybe. You weren't thinking that way. But now your imams have been preaching this to you, and I'm sure that most of you accept now that we are not completely strangers. There are some similarities for Muslim life and Christian life, and for Muslim idea of community or society, and the democratic idea of community and society. Again, I hope you're following me. You know why? Because I'm so happy I'm following myself. I am. I follow my best self. That's myself. That's my true self. I follow my best self. My best self brought me to the Quran. My best self brought me to Muhammad, my leader, our prophet, the perfect model for all people, all human beings. It was my best self that brought me to that. And it was my best self that brought me to be accepted in the 100 billion membership of Muslims on this earth. It was my best self that brought me in there. Now you think I'm going to disrespect my best self or put down my best self? No, I look up at my best self. You're a terrific person. Yes! Oh, he's a terrific man. And I'll follow him till the day I die. And when I stop following him, I'm going to die. I'm going to die spiritually, morally, rationally, literally. Yes, I am. Because he is the best person in me, and he's responsible for leading me to where I am, and also for leading you who follow me to where you are. Allahu Akbar. Praise be to God, Allah is greater. Now, Al-Islam shaping our life, our future in America. This society is an advanced society. It is the most advanced in many respects, in the most significant respect, other than maybe moral, it is the most advanced society that we have on earth today. Even in terms of its treatment of its citizens. I go to other countries and call Muslim countries, and I don't find their citizens treated as nicely as our citizens are treated in this country. Look at Islam in Africa. It has become almost Islamic witchcraft. So this can be published, I don't care. I like for them to hear it. I want Africa to hear this. Look at Nigeria, the conditions there. Look how the crime and the criminals were just running rampant in the roads of Nigeria. I don't know if it's safe or not to go there, but at one time it wasn't even safe for foreigners to even go there. You were supposed to be just kidnapped or robbed in broad daylight. Highway robbery. Very dangerous at one time. I think it's better now, but it's still not too safe there. And that's in Nigeria, it's almost 100% Muslim. Ain't no big population of Christians there. Majority of those people are Muslim, great majority are Muslim. They talk about Sudan, but I've been to Sudan. And believe me, Sudan is being given a bad name.
That's right.
Sudan is being slandered.
That's right.
Sudan is being lied on.
Right.
Sudan is not a bad place.
Right.
It is a good place, a good leader. They have political problems there, and it's being instigated, it's being supported by enemies of Sudan, and enemies of Islam.
Right.
But I can name you some other states, Islamic states. I've seen shameful things there. But even the best one that we think is the best, Saudi Arabia. There's not the freedom of expression there. I mean not good expression. I'm talking about you shouldn't have the freedom to do the rap songs that ain't got nothing but MF in it. You shouldn't have that kind of freedom, but we got it here in America. I'm not talking about the freedom to do bad with your expression. I'm talking about the freedom to do good with your expression is not given to all the citizens of Saudi Arabia. And that's not good. Not to mention some other countries. I don't want to name too many, because I don't have anything against any of them. I wish all of them would become right, become what they should be as Muslim countries, or as countries that have a majority of Muslims and Muslim leaders, Muslim rulers. I began with the saying of the prophet that you will not enter paradise until your ahram, translated inclinations, follow, obey or follow what the prophet came to us with. The scholars and teachers in Islam, they say that the prophet came to what the prophet was referring to when he said, what I came to you with, he's referring to the Quran, and they add, and his sunnah, referring to the Quran that he came to us with, and his model behavior as Muslim, the Quran and his model behavior, obedience to God, his model obedience to God. That's what he's referring to. Those two things. And we know that those two things is what make the religion Islam for us. It's not just the Quran, but it's the Quran and how it is practiced. Not just the Quran, but the Quran and how it is practiced. And who could be better in demonstrating how it is practiced than the one to whom God revealed it? So we see that as the focus for our Islamic life, it is the Quran and the practices of Muhammad, called the Sunnah, called the Law, or named by different names, the Quran and the practice of Muhammad, how he practiced the Quran, or the religion of Islam. We mentioned talking about the prophet saying that something would be in our way, and that is our own inclinations. When one follows his own opinion stubbornly, he's following his own inclination. When one follows his or her own spirit, that person's following his or her own inclination. If one follows their own sensitivities, feelings, stubbornly, that person's following his or her own inclination. When a person holds to their own reasoning very dogmatically, very stubbornly, or very dogmatically, they're following their own inclination. That's how you incline to have it. You're following your own inclination. So we could go on and relate to how the different urges and the different influences, the different features of our makeup are working in us, and how we sometimes give all those features, all those urges, over to ourselves, and ourselves say what should be and what shouldn't be. When you get to that extent, you're subject to fall into the pit of fire, or you're subject to be transformed as a dupe of Satan himself. A dupe of the Satan himself. So Muslims, we are not arrogant in our own knowledge or in our own position. We are not stubborn and fixed in our own minds or opinions. We are curious, and we are humble, and we are, by curious, we are looking for always more knowledge, more light, more information, a better way. And we are ready to repent. When we see a better way, and see a better light, brighter light, a truer light, a better way, or more have more understanding, see more understanding is here, better, we are inclined, we are ready to give up our mind on the matter and follow with us. This is the way that the true Muslim should be. And if we can be that way, we can enter the garden. We can enter the paradise. Prophet says we will not enter the paradise until our inclination is strong that he came to us with. Yes. Islam shaping our future. This is Islam. I have people in this community and outside this community, in immigrant communities, other ethnic groups, and overseas, but not too many overseas now. See, when they get something, they study it like our government study thing. They don't just look at it themselves. They pass it not. It can't happen. I would shut too many people off if I do that. But if you come see me to the Juma, you will see me in the Islamic form. Here I'm in the Muslim form. But you want to see me in the Islamic form for the da'i, for the imam, the one who gives khutbah, you come see me in the Jum'ah now. And you see me in the Islamic form. Now, continue. Our own life then, under our own individual authority, is a big trouble for us. That's why the Prophet said, prayers and peace be on him, that the biggest conquest is the victory over your own self. The biggest struggle, the biggest jihad, is the one made to bring your own self to conform to what Allah wants. Prophet Abraham, Allah says of Prophet Abraham, Ibrahim in the Quran, upon him be peace, said that he was successful in bringing his whole self, to conform to what God wanted. He presented himself wholly, completely, in the entirety of his constitution, or his self-maker, he presented himself complete to God. And he is the prophet we call Father after Father Adam. Peace be upon the two prophets. And he is the one that Allah revealed to Muhammad, upon Muhammad be the prayers and the peace, he revealed to Muhammad that our millah is the millah after the order of Prophet Abraham, upon him be peace. Now they translate this term millah to mean different things, pattern, order, etc. But I see millah, and here I'm going to have people different with me because they've been trained. And they hold to their training. As I see millah, the best term that I can give you in English for millah is destiny. Destiny. The destination that you're trying to get to. The destination or the destiny that you're trying to get to. But not a destiny just for the spirit. Not a destiny just for the soul. A destiny for community life. So the community life in the distance, the ideal, the goal to reach for community life, was seen by Prophet Abraham or Ibrahim, upon him be peace, and he had given himself completely to God. I'm on the subject, believe me. I'm addressing the subject. He gave himself completely to God, and by giving himself completely to God, then he could perceive or envision what the community life should be. A man that's just focused on the rituals of Islam, or the rituals of Christianity, or the rituals of Judaism, or any religion, he can only lead people to a facet of the community. Small facet of the community. To a far small angle in the community. But a man who comes to know himself in his entirety as a creation of God, he knows what the home should be like for that particular life. So if you know, you can't prepare a home for something you don't know. Can you prepare a home for a rabbit and you don't even know a rabbit? You might prepare something for a fly. Or a hyena or something. You got to know a rabbit, right? Then you prepare a home for a rabbit. Okay, so you can't prepare a home for the whole life that God wants for every human being if you don't know that whole life yourself.
So this great prophet called our second father, he perceived by struggling to give himself completely to God, he perceived the whole life of the human being and what that whole life looks like. Then he was able to say, to signal, not necessarily, but to signal descendants, his inheritance, the generations behind him, the followers of his, are the inheritors of the promise that God made to him. He was able to signal them in the direction of that ideal home environment for the community life. Yes, Al-Islam, the Quran, God, the Quran, Al-Islam, Prophet Muhammad, wrought for us a complete life, functional life, consistent life. See, this is what makes Islam so special. Islam is a consistent life. Consistent means no part of it is at odds or an enemy to the other part. Here we are in this society wanting religious life. But there's another angle or section, a quarter of life that is working against our religious life. It's the commercial quarters. The commercial quarters. The secular quarters are working against our religious life. So we have a life in this society, but parts of it are enemies to other parts. Is that not true? No. Yes. Al-Islam is not that, like that. Al-Islam is unique in wanting for us a complete life that is consistent with itself or in itself, that no part of it does harm or threatens harm to another part of it. Say, well, we can't have that in America, Brother Man. We're getting it in America, Brother Joe Blow. We're getting it in America. And, yes, so this is what Al-Islam wants for us, that our life be good. We can't have a moral criteria here that's violated over there. Al-Islam gives us one moral criteria. It's consistent. No part of it violates another moral. Now, can't you see and understand a little better what Allah says in the Quran when He says that you are a witness for all mankind? Yes, this model Muslim community, if it's really formed as it should be formed, it's a witness in the midst of the nations, for and against them. For them if they're striving to get there, against them if they're striving to keep it out or to destroy it. And for that great task or great assignment, God needs the best of His servants. God needs the best of His servants in that work. Not that God needs anything. I'm sure you understand the language I'm using. God has prepared, or God wants, God has chosen to have the best of His servants or His devotees in that work. He says, let there rise out of you a community. No, He's talking to us. He says, let there rise to the Muslims. Let there rise out of you a community. See, so there's the big community, comprising all the community of Muslims. But God wants in that big international community we call the Ummah, God wants an effort by a special group of people. And that special group of people should be working to establish the model community, so that the international community will have a model like they had in the time of Muhammad the Prophet in Medina, at Medina, Munawwara, the city of the light. That there arise out of you a community, and that community should be striving for the best, and that community should be upholding the best standards and protesting all that work against the best standards. And that, and this is the Quran now. And he means talking. He says, this is the Quran. I'm giving you Quran. I'm giving you what's in the Quran. What Allah says in the Quran. And that community, when I'm giving myself, here's what I say. I say, that's my opinion. That's how I see it. That let you know when I'm talking for myself. I let you know. I give you hope to know when I'm talking for myself. Yes. Yes. And God says, they will be people who will not be shamed or intimidated by the criticizer. They will not care about criticism. That tells us that if a people really want to fully achieve what God wants for them on the earth, they got to be prepared to take and endure criticism. You're going to be criticized. Occasionally I refer to the Bible, not only the Bible, I refer to maybe to Karl Marx sometimes. I don't know where it's good to be used. You know, you pick up bait. You ain't no bait in it. Maybe you're going to take it and put it tops on in your yard and have some better grass. I don't know. You know. So things have their uses. They have their purposes. So the Bible says that. It says, this is not the Quran of David, Prophet David, upon him be peace. This is the Bible saying of Dawood, Prophet David. Says that he said, woe is me, and everyone should praise me. Now that's a wise saying. So that if you take his advice is this: never want to have everybody liking you, never want to have everybody pleased with you, never want to have everybody saying all nice things about you and no bad things about you. Because when that time comes for you, you are destroyed, you are finished, you are no good for anything. Woe means completely lost. Woe means completely lost, completely gone. Messed up. Deteriorated. All the good gone out of it. Did the prophet say something similar to that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He described certain people. And one person would have nothing but, the people would be saying nothing but good things of him, never saying any bad things of him. And that was a sure sign that he was corrupt. And everybody was saying nothing but good of him. I repeat, Islam wants to have a complete life, functional, consistent life. And going back to these sensitivities, I guess all this wet weather ruined it just to me. But you know,
sensitivities will sometimes cloud the conscious mind and drown the intelligence, to even drown out the intelligence. Uncontrolled passions, you know, passions? Passion is a sensitivity that has been shifted to another speed, another gear of speed, a terrific gear of speed, passion. You know, love is a sensitivity, but lust is a passion, right? Love is a passion too, but right away, you know, love is a passion, but it's the soft passion. We really want to make it drive it home as a real passion, a big fire, lust. You see? So, passions will sometimes destroy one's life and one's properties. Your life and your property can be destroyed by passions. Passions out of control. They're called unbridled passions. In this American society language, unbridled passions, passions out of control. Now, you know, heirs. Make a witness of one's sensitivities. Heirs. Heirs can feed one's passions, bringing the fires to get out of hand, and all to be lost, your life and all your possessions. Heirs. Didn't the beast have heirs? Yeah, you know, air feeds fire, doesn't it? You can't have anything without air. So, if beast was all up in airs, wasn't he? He was all up in airs. These times over in Saudi Arabia, when they want to tell you about the proud one, they say he became proud, and when they say it, they go up like this. Stop! And I was stuck. All can be lost. This is God in the Quran getting us to know the harm and the benefit of our own life to us. How our own life can benefit us and harm us. God wants us to know that. When you know that from God, you have the best management brochure, are the best management booklet for your own safety and progress that anyone could possibly have. And Allah wants to put it in our hands, a management booklet for managing our own lives. And some of us are afraid to seek light in the hints that God gives us in Scripture. We're afraid to seek light. But he said that the religion calls us to light out of the darkness. That's what the religion is for. To call us to the light out of the darkness. Now, we find in the Scripture signs from God. And the scripture would have us know the signs which say, or the sign which says, no matter how extreme the clouding may be, clouding up, like the sky is today, or the downpour of the rain, or the ferocity or violence of the wind, no matter how out of control the fires on this earth. Now, these are storms, you see. Fire storms, rain storms, there's different storms. The sun. Now, you have to know a little something about the truth of the physical environment, the clouds and the sun, everything, to know it. There are some among us right now, just like we were in a show once, and I was surprised. All of a sudden, this boy about two rows ahead of us, he was hollering, "He did get killed! He did get killed, fool!" And his spirit could convince him that that guy did get killed. He didn't know it was an act, he didn't know it was just an act, you know, actor. He knew it was on screen, but he could believe, he didn't want to believe any other way either. He didn't get killed. So some of us don't know what's really happening. We think the sun is gone because the clouds have blotted out everything, you know, yeah. Or setting up there now. Yeah, really, really, you'd be surprised how many would take that. They go out, sun ain't out today. They think that really, that really means it ain't nowhere, you know. So no matter how extreme these activities are that flood us out, drown us out, burn us up, the sun is not a thing at all. The sun is carrying the social community pulse beat as a sign. Carrying the social community's pulse beat. And it's not losing any time. It's not changing time. We look at it, it might cloud up so bad, it look almost like sunset. But the sun may be at noonday, right? So no matter, it looks like sunset, but the sun is not working upon that reality. Sun is keeping to its discipline. The sun is keeping to its assignment. So it's right there where it's supposed to be, on time. So no matter how dark it gets or how long the night seems because of the darkening of the sky, when 24 hours come, we say that day is gone. Sun, not letting the time be changed. Now, our future in America, how Islam is influencing and shaping it. We want to become like the sun in its obedience to its assignment. And no matter how many hotheads come up, how many radicals come up and start preaching blackness, black this and black that, and how many hoopy doopies are foot shufflers and butt shakers, no matter how many of them come up, you know, and hit the world with a gold album, and that this take the community's mind. We want to be like that sun. When the environment is all clouded and confused, and when senses are going astray and exploding, and water is just pouring down from above, and
drowning and wetting up everything, interfering with the traffic and slowing up things. We want to be like that sun on the time that God assigned for us to be on, not losing time, not disturbed by it, not affected by it. Soon the clouds go back, the sun is where it was supposed to be. Take your watch and look at it. When the clouds roll back, you look where the sun is. It hadn't been slowed up. Traffic down here was slowed up by the storm, but the sun is still where it's supposed to be. It ain't slowed up by it. It ain't affected by it. It's still as bright as it was. When the clouds roll back, the sun doesn't appear weak like that storm put out some of its fire. It's just as bright as it was. That's how we should be. When the sadness and gloom and confusion of this world rolls back, they should see us just like we were. Or someone can get on a jet or back of an eagle and ride up there above the clouds, and they get up there, they should see us untouched, unchanged, and on time in our performance for Allah's sake. Wouldn't that be a wonderful community? Yes, wouldn't that be a great community? Yes, we can do that if we allow our lives, to be touched by the words of Allah in the Quran and the teachings and example of Muhammad the Prophet, and conform to it. Let your life come in obedience to that. And the more you do that, the more you will be like the sun, rising up from the night, but didn't change during the whole night. Didn't change not a bit. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Islam is given to us to serve our life, the whole life, the complete life. So we should not think of Islam anymore as a spiritual way of life only. Islam is not a spiritual way of life only. But Islam is a spiritual way of life, more importantly. Understand what I'm saying? It is a spiritual way of life, more importantly. Because if you don't give your spirit to Allah, whatever you do with your body and everything will not be appreciated. You have to give your spirit first to Allah. Have the spirit to want to please Allah. When your spirit accepts to want to please Allah, it makes it easier for everything else. Because human being, his truest life is his spiritual makeup. Not his material makeup, but his spiritual makeup. That's his truest life. Now, when his spirit can be expressed through the instrument of his intellect, then he really has his life intact. When that spirit can be expressed through the instrument of his intellect, the mind, the learned and the rational, intelligent mind, this life having spirit in this physical body. When spirit comes into this physical body at birth, this physical body shows that now I have life, right? It has life before, but it has no functional life of its own. That is, the mind is not in charge of that life. The mind in that body, which is the person, the truest identity for the person is the person's mind. and not the physical part, not this. So the mind is not alive or awakened in that body until the death is taken in. The child, as you give child an expression, or starts to show that it's in control of its own body. Right? Likewise, your intellect is the best part of you. How do we know that? Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he said that God did not create anything any better than the human intellect. That's what Muhammad said, not me. Prophet Muhammad. I'm talking to you all that are fixed in your old training and your old habits. Yes, they don't want to come out. Study. But the prophet said, God, Allah did not create anything better than a human intellect. So, what did that tell us? That when Allah was creating Adam, what was he creating him as more than anything else? An intellect. Then Allah created all the other people. What was he creating them as more than any other? An intellect. When Allah created Muhammad, oh, said, no, Muhammad wasn't created. Yes, he was. When Allah created Muhammad, he was creating him as an intellect, more than any other thing. Because if you take off the intellect, the body is no more human. Animals have feelings. Animals have spirit. Animals have shyness. Huh? Yes, animals have that. But what animals don't have that we have is a human intellect. A human mind to reason, question, etc. and select better decisions and judgments, etc. That we only have to look at something and say, all right, all right. You know, Roach still lived exactly as the Roach lived in the palace of the Pharaoh. I know because I read about the Pharaoh's palace. And I read that one had some roaches in his palace. I guess that's why they got them so much in hieroglyphics. They got a lot of roaches in hieroglyphics. And beetles and other things too, you know. I'm not saying that roaches dominate the hieroglyphics. But they're there. And the way they fried and the way they pitch it on the monuments of Egypt, they haven't changed their lifestyle. The way they told the way they tell the, how to roast, they haven't changed their life at all. But when you study man over the history of a thousand, 2,000 years, we find that a community was going around like wolves or baboons centuries, thousands of years ago. And that community changed, and now it's civilized and intelligent with intelligent speech and institutions of learning, etc. And they used to walk around like wolves. So says the story of Romans, that there were two brothers raised by a wolf, meaning that their life was like the wolf, the life of the wolf. And one of them couldn't go to the promised land. And they called that one Uncle Remus. I don't know why they call us all these old bad names. But the one that succeeded and made it into the area that was going to become the new state, the new Roman state, he's called Romulus. And Rome is named after him, Romulus. Correction. Thank you very much. He's called Romulus. And Rome takes his name, they say, takes his name from Romulus, that victorious one of the brothers. Excuse me. Now, maybe I should try to stick with this so I don't digress so much. So you won't be here too long. Because I didn't eat breakfast or lunch. Now, I'm not asking you to take me for breakfast or lunch or dinner, or to pay for it. I've already been invited. And by someone that's here.
and I thank them. I'll be ready. Yes. So the point is that Islam offers us a complete life. And anyone who gives themselves to just a facet of life, even though you give yourself to spirituality, and some of these religious orders or religious groups, they invite you to nothing but spiritual life. That's not the whole life. Allah wants us to have the whole life. Muhammad, you know, the prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace, he was not a spiritualist before he was called to Islam. He was a person carrying the burden of the community, of mankind on his heart. This is what the Islamic the history tells us. And it's in the Quran too. He was a person carrying the burden of the community of man on his heart, and especially that community that he was looking at every day, the community of the Arabs in the time of ignorance, Jahiliyyah, time of ignorance. And he was a man that was engaged in practical matters. He was a businessman for his wife in the employment or the employer of his wife, Khadija, upon her begot pleasure, radiallahu anha, may God be pleased with her. Yes, Khadija, Lady Khadija. And he impressed her so much as an able businessman that she could put her business in his charge. Turn her business over to his charge for him to run it, and he ran it very successfully. So this was Muhammad, not a person so saintly or so pious that he couldn't function in the world of people or in the community of man. And really, a lot of the statements that God makes in the Quran itself, we are to see them addressing also Muhammad, the prophet. And I'll give you one. Allah says, highly glorified is he. If the earth had been populated by communities of angels, as community brought out of what? Draw out the world of ignorance, darkness, and errors, mistakes. You are the best community brought out for the good of all people. Or for all people. خَيْرًا مَّتَنْ أُخْرِجَتْ بِالنَّاسِ. The best community brought out for all people. So God identifies us not as a congregation, a church group, a congregation, a temple group, or even mosque congregation, or Juma. He didn't say you're the best Juma. Evolved for the good of all people. He said you're the best community, because a community reflects what is needed and wanted and aspires, what the whole life aspires to, or for. The community is a reflection of that. And as much as we satisfy the best aspirations in the human being in forming an environment, the nearer we come to satisfying that paradise or that community that God wants for us in the end. Yes! We're almost an hour already. Thank you, God. Thank you. But I'm going to try to hear you if you're finished. Yes. Now, Allah wants us to cultivate our own personal life. Cultivate. What does cultivate mean? If you keep the language of this religion in its rituals, you will keep the true to the life of this religion. The rituals are not so much important in their language by themselves. They're important in their language to explain what your life really is. When we start the ritual of prayer, Allahu Akbar, what are you saying? You didn't live until you heard something. You hear sound, your mind can live. Then you can speak. You don't hear nothing, you're deaf mute. Right? Yeah. And they might can teach you by artificial ways now, they might can teach you, but the hearing there, if it doesn't come through the ears, normally for the great majority of people, language comes into the ear and we learn, the brain develops. The mind develops because language comes into the ear and we learn that language. Whether it's English language, or the language of math, or the language of psychology, or whatever it is, comes into the ear and we learn that language. But it comes into the ear. Now, we begin our prayer step, even though that Mu'addin has done this himself. But then we have to do it. We say, Allahu Akbar, banging our hands to the ear. That's how we start, right? Banging our hands to the ear, like this. This is scripture. Hear ye the word of the Lord and live. Hayya ala salah, Allahu Akbar. Scripture that went before. Is this Quran? Yes. See, this is a correction on the books that went before. And a completion. Kutubun qayyida. A correction on the books that went before, came before, and a completion. Meaning that that was yet to come to complete those books have now come to Muhammad in the form of the Quran, the last revelation. And containing or having preserved the essence of the books that came before. The essence, the purity of the books that came before. So the rituals, they have great meaning for us. When you do this, that's the beginning of life, isn't it? So what is this prayer teaching us? That life for a human being is really the intellect. It is life for your intellect. We don't start prayer off like this. Allahu Akbar. That's your heart. It's very important now. The heart is very important. But the Prophet didn't lead us to say, Allahu Akbar. No. Allahu Akbar. Hear ye the word of the Lord and live. Now, you want me to change my style of dialogue?
No.
I don't. I got it from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yeah, he was a man that had a strong suspicion that the brightest light was not yet dug up. So he was digging all the time. He dug too much in the graveyard, though. Now, I have to put it that way because he said, the Bible is the graveyard of my people. So getting back to what I was saying, that Islam, this religion wants us to cultivate ourselves, the life within ourselves. And the most important part of the life to cultivate is our intellect, our mind, to develop the potential for a great intellect that all of us have. Allah wants us to cultivate that mind. But the mind doesn't work by itself. The mind works as a president or a presider over a rule or a government. That's how the mind works. And the mind wants to know what is the opinion of the people. Right? What is the opinion of my supporters? So the heart represents the
plural community in its one symbol, because it cares about all parts of the body. It's feeding nutrients, light, food to all parts of the body, even the fingernails and hair. Yes? This is science. Like the prophet, you know, the prophet taught me how to bring these things clearly to your mind. He said he was talking about a dream, a vision he had. He said in it he saw milk coming out of bones. He didn't leave the people hanging in space. He said, that's science. So they're supposed to look for a reference in science to understand his dream. And we know now, science tells us, that bones need mainly calcium. Right? Bones need mainly calcium. And milk is a source of calcium for the baby and for many of us. Yes. So the prophet actually directed his studious, scientific-minded followers to go to science. He said, that's science. Alien, he said. Alien, yes. Not alien. Alien. Alien, yes. Yes. I'm not criticizing him, I just want him to say it right. Alien. Yes. All right. Cultivate the life within. Cultivate the life within. And an intellect is the life of the human being. That is your life. If you're not conscious in your mind, you're dead. You stay conscious long enough, you stay unconscious long enough in the hospital, what will the doctor say? He is clinically dead. He is clinically dead. That means dead as a person. That person is gone. You see, this world has made us think the heart is the boss. The heart is everything. Heart is the clue, the key, pardon me. The heart is the key, but not the boss. The heart wants to give itself to the boss. But the heart wants the boss to be ready. It qualifies to take the heart. As soon as the boss is ready, just like a good mother, she'll raise her son until she sees he's ready to go on and off. Then she'll, just like a baby, push that little bird out of the nest, say, go away from me, on y'all, get on y'all. Mothers will do the same thing to a little boy. I'm talking about special mothers. We'll do the same thing to a little boy that's been running behind her, asking her everything, and telling her, once she sees he's showing that he got intelligence, he can make good judgment on his own, then she don't want to interfere with him too much. She'll leave him by himself. He might even come and ask her something. She said, well, son, I don't know. Mama may tell you the wrong thing. She wants him to prove it from his own mind. She's hoping that he'll have a better intellect than she has. That's progress. Good mother. Well, this is the way the human heart is. The human heart, as a sign or a symbol for our social conscience. The human heart wants to turn that responsibility over to the brain, wants to see itself subordinate to the brain. The brain, boss, and the heart, second in command, assisting. But you know, in a real truly democratic society, the people become the authority, right?